rediscover the facets of yourself that have been kept hidden away for far too long. For just $1, you can take a journey and make it your ultimate transformation. Center of the Sun Plus offers more tools, support, and community to help you explore your inner realms. Click the link in the description to join today.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello, hello. Thoughts lead to feelings. Feelings lead to opinions. Opinions define reality. And the definition of reality solidifies into form. Do you believe me? I am CentrSun21 on Twitter. In a nutshell, I produce, edit, and disseminate content specifically for Black gay people that want to live forever. Yes, I said it, forever. And have fun while doing it, honey. My current projects include Center of the Sun podcast, learning how live streaming fits into our daily lives, and music production. I collaborate with as many Black gay people who are innovative and motivated just like myself. And if you proudly identify as such, welcome. I urge you to ask for more information if you're curious, and if not, when I have to ask you kindly to leave. Are you becoming spiritually aware? If you want to know the answer, this is Center of the Sun and I am your host. Thank you for listening. And I'm going to ask you, before we have our dance break, who are you? Let me know in the comments. Dance, bitch. Because music is the language of the universe. Let it move you. If you're awake, you should be dancing. Hey. DJ, turn it up. Wow. Thank you for joining me. I am your host, CentrSun21 on Twitter, and you are listening to Center of the Sun. So today we are talking about spiritual awakening. It's been a topic all season. OMG. And I've been, the last few episodes, we've been getting into just religion, and really not a lot of science. So today, we are talking about spiritual awakening, we're talking about spirituality, but we're also putting it, we're not forgetting about science. We are going to forget about our weird society today, because there's nothing new in the headlines besides the fact that two of the most evil white men that have governed this country are now dead. So we're just going to do that. And, you know, we're just going to let the cookie crumble where it may fucking go. Because I can't keep up. But I'm not, I don't celebrate people's death because I don't want to celebrate. I don't want nobody celebrating mine if I'm evil. Just let me die. Don't celebrate my death. But anyway, how have you celebrated this glorious weekend of all these old ass people dying? I'm like, I mean, I can't be sad about old people dying. They're supposed to die, you know? Anyway, in society, I typically run through the New York Times because that's where I subscribe to the news. It's all about George Bush, literally. And I'm like, there's nothing that's even remotely accurate about his tenure. And clearly it's all written by white folks, and that's fine. I saw that Michelle Obama did a little thing on Twitter. I'm like, okay, well, I think she might be running for president, so she has to. So I'm like, excuse that. And then, yeah, everybody else, like, I don't see anything that pops out to me. One thing that does seem a little weird, our guy, Mr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, he has been wrapped up in some weird ass sexual allegations regarding sexual assault. So I of course I can't log into the New York Times, so I can't see that particularly protected wall pay or whatever paywall. I can't see over this paywall because, oh, let me tell you something about Sprint. So fuck Sprint, okay? So I called them, and the reason why I can't log in into the New York Times on my computer or on my phone is because I don't have my password and I can't look it up right now because I'm recording. So it is what it is, but I don't care. So I called Sprint. My bill was late, whatever. I called Sprint to get a little, like, an extra day to pay my bill, and they had me on hold for like two hours. And because I've been with Sprint for the entirety of my life, if I didn't pay for Sprint, somebody in my life was paying Sprint for me to talk on a phone, whether it be a landline or a cell phone. Like, Sprint had landlines. That was our phone. That was our phone growing up. And then they had cell phones. We had cell phones and we had DSL. We had Sprint internet. We had Sprint everything. I've always had Sprint everything my entire life. So, you know, fast forward to I've had my own bill for the greater part of 10 years and have a Sprint credit card, you know, have all the things that Sprint has to offer. And I called to look to dispute a charge, which caused my bill to be late. And because I kept looking at this charge, I'm like, there's something weird about this bill. It's higher than normal. I need to call them before I pay. I'm not paying it until I get a good answer. So I get a call to get a good answer. They don't give me a good answer. It's like, oh, we charged you this thing because of this weird thing, and then we're going to do this because... And I was like, that's weird. That's never happened to me before. You know how these companies, they try to just give you jargon, like, well, it's, you know, it's because, like, there's a thingy that makes... You know, I'm like, you know what? I don't care. Let me talk to a manager. Thank you. So, And I'm not mean. I'm not rude. I work in a clinic. People are mean and rude to me all day. And I try not to reciprocate that same bad energy, those low vibrations. I don't reciprocate low vibrations. So I was like, okay, I don't understand why you're telling me this. And may I speak to your manager? Sure, right away. Ba-doop. I was on hold for a half hour. No. I was on hold for an hour and a half. Prior to the hour and a half hold, I was on hold for like 10 or 15 minutes. And then once I talked to that manager, I still was not happy with the answer. So I was like, you know what? Send me to the people that close the accounts. And then I was on hold again. So basically what I did was I was like, you know what? How about these apples? How about I just like go to somewhere else? Because what I'm not going to do is continue paying this exorbitant amount of money for the worst service. And they know it. That's the thing about it. Sprint knows they're shitty. That's why they're the cheapest. And that's why they let me pay my bill late all the time. long story short, I'm no longer a Sprint customer. Yes, I am. I'm still paying something. But long story short, I have Spectrum Mobile now, and I had to switch my phone. And thank God we don't have contracts no more, because I was like, bloop, bloop. And it's you, the law, thank you, law, protects us. So if you did not know this, regardless of the situation of the phone company, I would imagine don't let your phone get cut off first. Because I don't know, like, once it's disconnected, like, that's the one thing that you can't, that doesn't protect you. But if the phone line is active, that's your number. Like, literally, you own that number. Sprint does not own that number. So you can port that number anywhere you go. So you know what the fuck I did? I ported my number to Spectrum. And I will call Sprint Monday so I can return their little dumbass phone. So I just switched. So basically, long story short, I don't have no passwords on my phone because I gotta, like, log it. I gotta do some stuff where it's not automatic. Because you use your phone, you use your password, and your keychain so often that eventually I just forget my passwords. And then when it's time to log in, I'm like, shit, I gotta log into the keychain, and then I gotta do all this stuff. I gotta do all these steps. But what I can't remember is my password. So I gotta, you know, anyway. So long story short, and I don't feel bad about it because Sprint does not exist no more. Even though they're building new Sprint stores, no. There's a long-term plan to value Sprint. So it is what it is. And then turn it into T-Mobile. They've already done it with PCS. What is it? Metro PCS. So anyway, that's why we're not going to talk about fucking headlines. And actually, moving forward, I'm not going to talk about headlines because I don't read the headlines. I read the editorials, and I didn't realize that. And I realized that. I realized that I only liked reading the New York Times editorials. So that's what we're going to focus on moving forward, because reporting the news is exhausting. And I didn't sign up for it. And that's the point of this show, is experimentation. So if you listen to the show and you like it, just know that it will always change. Like, literally. And in terms of profiting and stuff like that, it will be in the interest of the show's movement will be the interest of not profit, pure profit, but like decreasing the amount of jobs that I need to have in the regular world. So, you know, if there's ads on the show or something, don't be alarmed. But I will never sell anything that will, like, be detrimental to your health or anything. Like, I don't sell. I want to do ads like Crystal and Cured Fury, like therapy and bras, you know, and stuff like that. Nothing like toxic or evil. So thank you for listening. And the infrastructure is already there. I just need the listeners and the I just need the customers to pay. So the show is inherently set up to be profitable. So anyway, thank you for listening. If you would like to support the show, I do have a Patreon account. Please email me host@centrosun21.com because that is not set up yet. And there is no reason to. I just want my hope, just like my cell phone bill, is just to have it set up. So that whatever happens can happen, and that I'm in the best position to serve you all. Speaking of service, today is December 2nd, which means that yesterday was December 1st, World AIDS Day. If you have not, basically, I'm going to say this. How do you know you don't have HIV? And the only way, I'm going to say two things, and the only way to know if one has HIV is to be tested. So if those two statements reverberate in your body, take your ass to the doctor. Have a great day. Thank you for listening. And HIV is a huge issue that is actually, speaking of George W. or H.W. Bush, like, the fact that he died on World AIDS Day is like karmic irony. It's so ironic, but, you know, it is what it is. Like, but he got to live to 94 while all the black gay people or black trans people, black queer people, white queer people, all the queers, we got to be murdered in cold blood, basically, because of a lack of response. And that's why I have to do things like talk about Jesus, because sometimes I have to like look in unexpected places to find joy, even though certain things are not joyful for me at all times. But sometimes I have to look in unexpected places to find joy. And that's what this episode is about. How do you become spiritually aware? And not like religious, not spiritual, not vibes, not energy, healing. No, like literally, how do you... What is that process? What does it look like? And the only way I can explain it is in the context of science, because of the lack of ambiguity. Not that it's completely free of ambiguity. Science is inherently ambiguous, and that's the point. But there's a structure to it. So, in order to do that, I have been really putting my head down in some science lately. But I'm just coming to the same conclusion, is that science is just as dumb as any other idea that we've been ascribed to. And that art is truly the savior. So last week I went in on the Bible. Like, I don't know, I was having a moment. Like, I was like preaching, like, hallelujah. But I was talking, I read three parables of Christ in order. Luke chapter 19 verses 1 through 40. And they described... Oh, let me get my notes. I've been going to... So you know how people have like retail therapy? My retail therapy is going to Staples. Like literally, I bought two new journals, and I use them. That's the thing, is that they're only $10. So Staples sells these really nice bound, and they're not that nice. Like, I would prefer, if I had more money, I would buy nicer ones, because the binding is falling apart already, but it's good enough. But I have an addiction to journals and pens. Like, literally, I have a problem. And I went to Staples, and they had their new Christmas journals out and stuff, and I was like, okay, I'll take a sketchbook and a journal, thank you, for 2019. So my 2019 journal has already been purchased. It says be happy on the front. So last week, and that's why I have another journal, that my 2018 journal, it's not even finished yet, but I bet you I'll finish it by the end of this year. There's still a month left, so we'll see. But Staples has great journals if you want. This is not an ad. I just love Staples. And I bought a fountain pen. Oh my God, I love fountain pens, because I'm a writer. Not a writer, not like a mass appeal writer. Like, I don't write for the public, I write for me. And I just literally, that's my expression. Like, I have to get my thoughts out of my brain and onto a piece of paper. And I do that by handwriting. And if you ever meet me or ever see me sign anything or whatever, you see my handwriting is crazy. And it's big, but it represents me. It represents my consciousness. Like, the way that the reality reflects, the external reality, it reflects the internal reality, is mind boggling. And the first iteration of that, the first evidence of your consciousness, is literally your handwriting. So I buy journals and pens all the time, because it's like, that's my form of art, but it's like just my handwriting. So I keep it in a journal. But last week we were talking about Jesus, and we're talking about this parables of Jesus. And the moral of my story is that nothing in the world is truly finite. What is finite? Finite means there's a beginning and there's an end. As opposed to infinite, you know, infinite or infinity, where there is no beginning and there is no end, and time and space and duration just continue. In perpetuity, which is the nature, we believe, of our universe. And the second point that I wanted to point out from last week is that what is finite? So nothing. So in one hand we say that nothing is finite, and then in the other hand we say that that there are finite things. And how is that possible? Well, that's possible because the things that are finite directly correspond to our reality. And our reality is a direct, when I opened the show, I said, turning the page back, I can't remember where it was, but it was something like feelings equal thoughts, thoughts equal something else. Let me go back here. Oh, shoot. Come on. I don't know, but basically our thoughts manifest in reality. There's a vibration to them. There's something about our thoughts. And so even though the true nature of the universe is that nothing is finite, the true nature of our universe inside of our heads is that there are things that are finite because we make them so. Purely. We create reality. Does that make sense? It's hard to explain because when I say it out loud, it makes sense to me. But then I think about it like that might not make sense to nobody else. But basically, control. So the basic thing is about control. Do we have control over anything? And the answer is no. But you can create finite control within your reality, and you can control the things that maximize your power on Earth. So, you have power on Earth. So how do you know you have power on Earth, and what is your power on Earth? Well, that's why we have religion, because I think religion does a really good job, even though it does a good job of being an asshole. Religion also has a very good job. And when I say religion and spirituality, because everyone defines it differently. Whatever it means to you. Basically, but your sense of self directly correlates to your, there's always like a higher power. There's always something going on. But basically, we need to recognize that our power comes from our sense of self, our higher self, our awareness, our consciousness, God, our spirit, our energy, our all these things. They're all synonyms. They all mean the same thing. It's just a different word for the same thing. Everybody is right. And God has given us gifts. So in my reality, my higher power is God. To someone else, their higher power is themselves on a higher dimension. It's the same thing. It's literally the same thing. And if you don't believe me, just keep reading your own religious texts and it'll tell you. It'll say it right there in front of you. You just have to recognize that that's what it is. You have to interpret it in that way. But the truth is already here. And with those religious texts, and that's why I'm like, if you don't believe me, read your religious texts. Because your religious texts, and I can tell you, mandate that you invest and return that investment that God has given you, whatever God is to you. So if you're a writer and that's your gift and that's your power, you're supposed to invest your writing and return the investment, not one time, not two times, but about 5-10 times in return on the investment. I'm a talker and I'm a vocalist. Talk, I sing, I do all kinds of things with my voice. I have to put my voice into the world. Like, we have to bring our gifts out and invest them into the world, because that is the only way that we create reality. Otherwise, do you know what happens? Otherwise, fucking rocks will cry out. So, and I interpret that as, you know, everything on the earth has a vibration. Everything, even a rock, has a energy to it that can supersede yours if you are not careful. And you'll be looking real dumb over here letting rocks be more energetic than your dumb ass. So, hello, happy Sunday. And moving along to today, I wanted to not move away too much from that. because what this warrants to me is that, like, things that we think are just normal human behaviors, like, I'm just going to get up and draw a doodle today. We don't recognize the, like, intense amount of brain power. Even the dumbest thing we think is the stupidest thing we do, it is actually, that is connected to God. Like, that is our spirit. And that is a spiritual awakening. That's what I mean when I talk about a spiritual awakening, is connecting to God through our gifts. Because that's how we communicate, like, our feelings and how we our motivations and our dreams and our aspirations and our thoughts and our feelings and our emotions and all those things are the communications, are the communique from higher power or God or higher self or spirit or cognition. I think that, like, thinking is the ultimate gift. So let me get my notes out here because I'm getting a little distracted because I'm still on last week. I'm still on this last week thing. I had so much fun reading the Bible, and we're actually going to read a verse from the Bible today. It's very short, but art is truly the savior. And whatever form you decide to focus on, it will allow the mind to interact with the world. That's literally the purpose: to bring the soul out of the body, bring the body in to the mind. And doing this will temper the overbearing nature of our body. Like, we, because we are physical beings, we have an impact on the world. There's a cascading effect that we have on the world, and we're seeing it, you know, in the terms of climate change and all this kind of stuff. Like, we, if we're not careful with our thoughts, our bodies become overbearing to nature. And through the stretching and prodding of our imagination, that's where we create that microcosm we see in the macrocosm of the universe. So Earth is just a reflection of the greater scheme of the universe, or the greater patterns that exist within the universe. So where the hell am I getting all these ideas? Because I'm like, I just like talk and talk and talk. I'm like, where do I get these ideas from? And, you know, I don't like being duped. I don't like being manipulated. And I definitely don't like being lied to about simple stuff that shouldn't be a lie. And so we've been focusing a lot on Cartesian rationalism, or the just regular way that we approach problems in science and in society. But there is an alternative way that we've already accepted and already integrated into everything. This is the kind of slope. We talk about it like it's like the devil, but we've already integrated it into our daily lives, and that's alchemy. Have you heard of alchemy? You probably have only heard about it in a certain way because it fails to, because it inherently and then purposefully fails to conduct experiments based on that Cartesian rationalism. And I'm not going to be able to get into alchemy. Like, what is alchemy? That's season three. That's coming in season three. We're going to get into that. Alchemical rules of thought. But in a nutshell, alchemy encourages one to recognize the world, who we are, and how we fit into that world and then the greater universe, to recognize that this integration is so complex that shifting one's perspective even slightly yields new and confounding information every time. There's a show on Viceland, I think, about ayahuasca. Basically, every time we probe our imagination, every time we prod our consciousness, it doesn't matter who it is, that person has a different experience from the last one. And that everything corresponds in some way to everything else. And this is not religion. This is literally just how the world works. For instance, our date, the place, and the time we were born corresponds to a planetary position, and we call that a birth sign. And we call that, and we connect personal, our personality traits or archetypes we superimpose those archetypes onto that person before they're even grown. So you can believe me or not. Do you believe me? Let me know. Host at CentrusSun21.com. Send me an email, or you can tweet me at CentrusSun21 on Twitter. Because I want to know where you are in terms of thinking about these ideas. Is it foreign to you? It's foreign to me. I can tell you that. I have to write on paper and pen and just to understand it, because it is so new. I need to like really come back to foundation. Like, hold on. Everything I learned is now not a lie, but it's more confusing. Because now there's more information. I keep telling my boss this. I need more information. I need more information, not less. And you need more information because it helps you make better decisions about moving forward. And with the lack of information, I'm going to make the same mistake over and over again. Who said that? Albert Einstein said that that's the definition of insanity, is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Like, I can't keep doing the same thing over, expect a different result, and not be mad. So naturally, you have to seek more information in order to get a better picture. So here we are. And this episode will explain a little bit more about how specifically those planetary positions, because I do want to get into astrology because it's very interesting. And I didn't know that alchemy stems from, or astrology stems from, alchemy. And so we accept astrology, but we think alchemy is like magic or something. And it's like, no, actually, alchemy explains in better detail, and in more weird detail, though, how we interact with the world and how, and our position on this planet. So everything corresponds in some way to everything else. And for instance, astrology is your girl because you've already accepted her. And I just want to take the time to just explore some new ideas today and shift my perspective, because I don't have all the answers and I want them. And the point of Center of the Sun is to explore the possibilities, explore the things that we have just so... which is so confidently decided were true, that are actually not true. And I think it was the expression episode, I spoke about how we accept ideas of which we were never previously aware. Things like New Age spirituality and alien invasions. We receive messages from our society warning us that we should take heed, but we never do. We never get our house together. We just keep living, and then we're surprised when we get to a critical mass, and then things start looking like they're going to fall apart, and then we get scared, and then we want to correct them and make corrections. And then science is basically no different. Science is no different. They've been telling us for years that the Earth is a globe and that space is a vacuum. But NASA keeps photoshopping their pictures without valid explanation. Also, if you want to know anything about a vacuum, or if you know anything about a vacuum, please enlighten me, because I just learned that it's impossible for space to be a vacuum. Where does the Earth's atmosphere end and begin? And then where does space end and begin to create this compelling vacuum? Because a vacuum is a boundary inside which nothing else is. Boundary. Empty bound. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Space is definitely not a vacuum. If you just look purely at the definition, not a vacuum. So let's play truth or dare, because I cannot. Truth. 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 It is completely possible for space to not be a vacuum. And we've been lied to our entire lives. Here we are. Here we are again. Feeling real extra, really disappointed. Like, it's really disappointing. So I'm going to go to my Bible, because what has not changed? What thing has not changed in our lifetime? What document The Bible is a good one. So I'm going to go to the New Living Translation Bible. And we're actually just going to go to Genesis 1:1. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, neighbor. Can somebody say, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, neighbor. Shame. Shame. Shame your neighbor because... Or actually, no. Don't shame your neighbor. Turn your neighbor and say, neighbor, neighbor. Creation is in the vortex, What is the vortex of creation? Well, the vortex of creation, I can't explain it because I don't know what the fuck it is. But I can, but you know who explained it? King James ass. In this New Living Translation. So, your Bible, Genesis 1:1, it's titled The Account of Creation. Okay. And basically, pretty much everybody has the same account of creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2. I said 1:1, but I meant 1:1 and 2. Or 12 verses. So Genesis 1, verse 1 through 12. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty. So those are key words, formless and empty. And darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called that light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. Then God said, let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth. And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens. God called this space sky. And evening passed and morning came, marking the second day. I'm getting chills, y'all. This is weird. Then God said, let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place so dry ground may appear. And that is what happened. God called the dry ground land and the water sea. And then God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the light sprout with seeds and then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came. And that is what happened. Then the land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees and seed-bearing fruit. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind. And God saw that it was what? Turn to your neighbor and say, good. Now, so we read the Bible. Okay, we read the Bible. Now I want you to go to Google and type in Sano. Luminescence. So Sonoluminescence. Sonoluminescence is a scientific term that defines the excitement within a substance by the passage of sound waves through it. So we know from science that water is like the ultimate conductor of electricity. We know from science that our bodies reflect the macrocosm of the universe. Therefore, when we hear things like we are made in God's image, God is inside of us, God is within us and outside of us, God is everywhere, God is omnipresent, God is omnipotent, God is omniscious, whatever the words are. For the Lord our God is almighty, it's the Lord our God is omnipotent, the Lord our God, he is wonderful. All those things that we just say because it's our religion and we just feel it feels good so we don't resist. all the while, the Bible is literally telling us truths about the universe that we ignore because of social constructions. God said, hold on. Let me get my notes here because I'm about to start asking a battery of questions. I'm already curious. So, how did God create water over waters before there was water? And I believe that it's possible. And I only believe it's possible because we have modern terms and modern demonstrations of science through Cartesian rationalism, not even alchemy. We don't even have to touch the weird part of science. But like, if we look at it purely from a rational standpoint, we can prove that if you put enough energy, sound waves into a substance, it can create light. That is sonoluminescence. We can create light from darkness through sound waves. It says it right in the, it's right here. God said, let there be light. And there was light. Oh my God. If you believe in God, you should like take a moment to like wave your hand because this is cray cray. So maybe there is water. So take it out of Cartesian rationalism. We know it's possible. Let's jump back into alchemy. Let's shift our perspective just slightly, just slight. Let's just shift our perspective and let's just believe that this Bible is telling the truth. So not NASA, not the United States government. Space is not a vacuum. Space is not dry and cold. It's probably cold, but what if space was hot and wet? Let's just shift our perspective. Just think about it just for one moment. Let's let Jesus use us through this Bible. God said, let there be light. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. The Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Let there be light. There was no boundary. So imagine in space, the darkness of space, just a whole bunch of water stuff moving around, because within deep waters, there's something in the water. And maybe there is water everywhere, and it just takes a special force, special consciousness, a special focused amount of energy to create a form. So we know that our feelings lead to thoughts, which lead to opinions, which leads to definitions, which leads to manifestation of our reality. We know it's possible. And we know that it's not possible for space to be a vacuum because there is no boundary. And we also know that it's possible because we all own vacuums in our house that gravity can exist within a vacuum. So the fact that these astronauts are bouncing around like it's in the vacuum, it's the vacuum of space because they're bouncing around because it's the vacuum. No, it's not. There is no, they're bouncing around because they're floating in probably in water. And not like liquid water, vapor. Because, and we're not going to talk about this today, but one of the reasons why the show is called The Center of the Sun is because the sun is not what we think it is. And that water is not what we think it is. And form and thoughts and who we are not who we think, not what we previously thought they were. So what does this mean for literally anyone breathing? Because I'm like, at the end of the day, it don't matter how the earth was created. It was created billions of years ago, so it don't matter to us. But that's the point. If you believe in most religions, you also believe in substance dualism. You believe that there is an infinite part of us that will live on past this finite reality in which we've created and in which we exist currently. And you probably believe these things unwillingly and unwittingly, that we have a higher self and that our higher self is connected to God. And if you don't believe in God, I give you the disclaimer, is this is whatever it means to you. because I don't have specific answers. The only specific answers I have are from my foundational upbringing. And the fact that I only have my feelings. At the end of the day, I can only lean towards what feels good. I can only glean from my consciousness, because reality is not everything that we, you know, it's what we make it. And it's also, you know, we don't always have complete control over our bodies, because we can be influenced very easily. And our survival mechanisms, our egos and our attitudes and stuff, those are there for a reason. And we should balance them with our higher self. So my higher self's been showing himself lately, because I've been becoming more aware of how I feel. Not, I haven't learned anything new. I just feel new things. Because it's like everything I've always, it's already here. I just, does the feeling validate that it's true? That's what's happening. Because I already know, like, we've been reading Genesis 1 and 1 for basically our entire life, but never looked at what it actually said. And that deep waters and infinite waters could also mean, like, literally God came over some fucking water, in like that the blackness of space is actually, we're just looking into a deep ass ocean, and that we've never been actually out in that bitch. And that Elon Musk's ass keep trying to prove that he going out into space. They're not, when they go into space, they literally go to the top of the clouds and turn back around and come back down. So where does the earth stop and space begin? There is no boundary. Literally, I'm telling y'all, there is no boundary. There is none. There is no boundary. So what does this mean to anyone breathing? Well, it means, you know, it just validates the fact that we, you know, you have to lean towards the feelings that feel good to you, because literally most people are Christians or in some major religion have this creation account. And I've been getting into crystals and stuff, and I'm becoming more aware of how I feel. And I always thought that how I feel and how I think are mutually exclusive. And then I got into crystals and did some energy healing and really found out real fast. Like, literally, I just stopped the thing because I was doing it. I was doing energy healing for the first time with pointed quartz. And I've never been the same. Not drastically different, but my perspective on my human biology has changed, because my feelings are drastically different. I felt things I didn't even think were possible. I didn't know you could have an energetic connection to crystals or quartz. And that's why pretty much every fucking computer or, you know, like, they conduct electricity. We know it. Our electricity flows through our body just like any other electromagnetic wave. And people have used crystals for all kinds of purposes, and just, we just know that they're purely from the earth, and that we can recreate them under great pressure. But just think of a diamond. Women wear diamonds all the time to validate their feelings about their love. And I've benefited greatly from understanding how energy flows through my body. So what do you think? Do you believe me? Email me, host@centersun21.com, or you can tweet me at centersun21 on Twitter. So what do people mean when they... Sorry, I'm moving ahead of myself. I wanted you to think of a diamond, because I'm going to talk about quartz. And how quartz... Well, I'm not going to talk about it, because I'm specifically talking about quartz. And how quartz in my life has greatly benefited me. Because I'm understanding that there are energy points in the body, and that energy flows through certain points in the body. And so now we're going to move along in our game. I forgot we were playing Truth or Dare again. I dare you to become aware of your chakras or your energy centers in your body. And what do people mean by, like, my chakras are aligned, they're misaligned, like, I need to do this chakra, that chakra. What are the chakras? Well, to understand chakras, you have to understand the basis of astrology and the basis of alchemy. It all flows. We've already accepted these ideas. It's just, you have to realize that you did it and make a decision whether or not you want to move forward. So to understand chakras, you need to understand alchemy. To understand alchemy, you need to understand planets, planetary positions. You need to understand the universe. And it's all about birth signs. You know, astrology is all about birth signs because it's all significant. So let me get my notes out here. Let me get my big ass notebook. Okay. So astrology are basically our alchemical social constructs, okay? And alchemy breaks down archetypes of the body and the mind into planetary symbols, okay? So astrology is nothing more than a symbolic representation of who humans are, and it starts with the moon and ends with Saturn, okay? So from the sun, or starts with the sun to the moon and everything in between up until Saturn. Those are our symbols. And astrology is significant to the human mind and the human body. And it dictates that everything has a planetary correspondence, and those correspondences are grouped into systems. And those systems can be combined with literally like herbs and rocks and animals and stuff, and that is where like magic and witchcraft comes from, is because we're combining our ideas of how we relate to the world, we're creating a microcosm and reflecting that microcosm on what we see in the universe. So that's where witchcraft comes from. And but then they add extra stuff to it, like connecting it to like the devil, and you know, there's more stuff to it, but that's where it flows from. It comes from like planetary position, the macrocosm reflecting the microcosm. That's what a spell is. And you're drawing that energy from that planet with those objects into your space. And to do that, we do that through our chakras. And our chakras are literally just mental archetypes. And chakras are places in our body and in our mind where we place our reactions to certain experiences. And this all relates to your endocrine glands, and it relates to your biology. But we know in dualism, our biology and our infinite consciousness are not mutually exclusive, and that they often work hand in hand. So let's start with the root chakra. The root chakra is like near your booty, you know, that corresponds to Saturn, and that's our base, and that's the point of origin for spirit to form. That's literally your anchor. That's your root. That's what touches the ground, literally. And it roots you into the invisible, into the other dimensions, basically. So your root chakra, also, you know, you poop, that's where your waist go, you know, it's like, it's significant to our biology. The next chakra is called the sacral chakra, or that's where your sexual organs are, that corresponds to Jupiter. And Jupiter, it corresponds to your bladder, so you pee out of there. It indicates sexuality, but can also indicate that's where violent energy flows through your sacral chakra. That's where water flows through your sacral chakra. Your feelings, your emotions. So that's that fluid part of you. That's why you're so spicy. You can just get up and start being violent. And that's why, and it explains why a lot of like straight dudes or people in general become violent in sex. Is because that's where that energy flows from. And if your sacral chakra is fucked up, you're going to fucking kill somebody in response to a sexual encounter. Like, it's just going to happen because, it's volatile down there, but it's also volatile in the fact that your emotions are down there, your feelings flow through there, and also your creativity. So your sacral chakra is connected to that part of your body. Your creativity flows out of there. That's why sex helps people, I bet. That's why I'm just going to make an assumption. That's why sex sometimes is a relief for some people. and that the hippies, you know, we talk about love and stuff, like sexuality is a part of that because it's normal. It's normal. So moving up, so we got our root chakra, we got our sacral chakra, and then now if you go right below your, what is this part of it's your sternum, right under your sternum, and this is my most powerful chakra. And I've actually, in the last few weeks, I've recognized what that chakra feels like. Because I just always thought it was nervousness or anxiety. No. That's my solar plexus. That's your solar plexus. And your solar plexus corresponds to Mars. Okay? And that organ is your pancreas. Okay? Your pancreas reacts to anger. And it also reacts, that's your, like, your digestive system. So think about how you digest food. So you digest food through your solar plexus. You also digest reality through your solar plexus. So the energy of, like, is this real? Is this fake? Like, that's your gut feeling. Like, your gut feelings, like, literally, that's your solar plexus. And it is the place where you most likely would respond to anxiety. So you get diarrhea, you get, you know, your stomach hurts and stuff. And that's a result of your solar plexus. That's your body yelling at you. And you have to start recognizing what those feelings look like. That also your guts, your courage, and your willpower flow through there as well. So I'm talking about the chakras because I never realized that this is where these ideas came from. And once you start becoming aware of, like, how energy is, like, increasing and decreasing in certain parts of your body, you start making moves differently. So moving up, right under your sternum is your solar plexus. Like, it's like right in the middle of my body. Like, and when I'm nervous or when I'm excited or something, like, I can feel, like, the blood flowing through my solar plexus. So whenever I meditate, I put my quartz there. So moving up, Venus. Oh, I put my quartz on my solar plexus because quartz is a clarifier. So quartz helps me digest reality a little bit better. Venus corresponds to the heart chakra, which is also right in the middle of your chest where the heart is. And that is your circulatory and your respiratory systems. Those are thus where you're exchanging oxygen and all kinds of stuff. That's where those chemical processes lie, and it corresponds to Venus. We all know that Venus relates to love, and we just thought that this was just like a book that somebody wrote. No, like, literally, we've always thought that these planetary positions were valid, and Venus gives the divine the spark of life. So the divine is in the crown chakra, but the spark of life happens in the blood and through alchemy. And as a, because I'm a research assistant and by day, and so that maybe require me to draw someone's blood. And in the last 2 years, I've just learned how to draw blood in the last 2 years. And I to this day look at vials of blood and I'm like, there is something shimmering in this goddamn blood. Like, it's something about this blood. And I just look at it and I'm just like, what? It just seems so dense. It's so odd. but I don't dwell on it because... Oh, I have water. I don't dwell on it because people start passing out. Because people get weird. They're like, oh, God, blood. Oh, God. So I just, like, I look at it and then I'm like... And then I move along and then it mixes with the additive and then it kind of dulls out a little bit. But initially, when I draw someone's blood, it comes out of their body. It's, like, shiny. It's so weird. But it's that spark of life. That's the spark of life. I gotta take a drink of water because my mind is blown. My mind is literally blown. And I never really thought about what chakras were because I just thought it was a part of being a Buddhist or something, or a Hindu. But now that I think that everybody's right, I'm like, oh, let me see what's going on over here, because the Baptists and the Buddhists are starting to actually sound the same at this point. But our blood you know, the point. And then, but our blood does, our blood is made in the liver, but it doesn't get the necessary oxygen that it needs to travel to the, like, okay. So the blood, so, okay, so let's just think of it. So let's think of it in a biological standpoint, because I know from my job that the liver creates the blood, okay? Or creates the thickness of the blood. It creates your platelets that gives it that viscousness. So if I look at my chakras here, and I have to look at my notes every time because I don't know anything about chakras. So our root chakra is where our liver is, I'm assuming. And that's the base. That's the low. That's our digestive system. That's right down at the base. And that's literally where everything goes first before it gets into your body. But it's the point of origin of the spirit. The point of origin of the spirit is in the liver. It receives its spark, its oxygen, the exchange. And when I say oxygen, I'm literally, we breathe in water because literally water is everywhere. We are water. Water is everywhere. And even how we breathe, we don't breathe in air, we breathe in vapor, and then that vapor there's a chemical process within our lungs that exchanges something for something else, and then oxygen is in our blood, and then we breathe out carbon monoxide. We breathe out carbon. And then it just keeps going. It's a big cycle. So it makes sense that the spark of life, because without oxygen in your blood, you can have as many platelets as you want. So your blood can be thick, but without the necessary components that are added in the heart and in the lungs. Wow. It's becoming more and more clear that we already know everything. We just have to decide how to organize it. So moving up in our chakras, we have our throat chakra, which is right where your thyroid gland is. So kind of like right in that little divot of your throat where your esophagus kind of down into your body. It indicates your throat and your communication and your ability to do or in your ability to connect with other people. And that corresponds to planet Mercury. So the throat chakra is very important because it is your gate. It's your communicator. It's your it's the screen of a computer. It's the speaker of a record player. It's what communicates. So your thyroid gland is regulated by that. And all of these chakras relate to your endocrine system. So all of your feelings, all of your hormones, all of that all flows through these chakras. And that's why you feel the way you feel. And those feelings are not there by accident. So moving up is the moon. What chakra is that called? I don't know what that's called. We're just going to call it the perception chakra because I don't know, but it's basically your eyes and your brain and that lizard part of you, that ancient part of you that receives information and then, does something with it. I don't know. I don't know. It's all of this is new to me, so I can't explain it in terms of that way. But I know that we know from season one that the brain is locked in darkness and silence, and it just gets millions of signals throughout the day, and then it just figures out what to do with it, and that's how we have reality. In a nutshell, it's way more complex than that because the brain is amazing, but we know that that's the more antiquated part of our body because we know that because of our fight or flight response, we're still locked into survival mode because of our brain and our ego. And we know that because of ego and that we can't just, it's so hard to lay down our ego. Like we know it's locked in and it's locked in for a purpose. It's not because we're supposed to be ascending or be like alien. We're not supposed to be off the earth. We're supposed to be finding the earth, finding more about ourselves, finding out more about the earth and then creating a new one in a way that will allow us to ascend at the time, at the right time. I don't think that anyone's ascending until everybody ascends. I'm a public health worker. I work in public health, so I don't see how a few people can ascend without as some sort of greater good, greater benefit happening. So That's the moon, or that's the perception chakra. And if you know the real name of that chakra, please let me know. host@centersun21.com. That's where your eyes are. And when I say your eyes, I mean your two visual eyes, and then your visual cortex, or your sight and vision are two different things. So your sight is in the perception, and your vision is in the perception. But then there's another part of your vision that's the third eye. That's, but we think that's in the crown chakra. So at the very top, tippy top of your head, right in the base of your brain, in the middle of your brain, you have a nice gland called the pineal gland. And Hoteps talk about how it's calcified. And other people talk about how the government's trying to like fluoridate our water and chemtrail the air and dot, 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 this and that, whatever. It doesn't matter, because the crown chakra corresponds to the sun, which corresponds to our awareness, which corresponds also to our consciousness, which is the is God. So the sun corresponds to our pineal gland. We are the center of the sun. And now we're here. I didn't plan on that. Honestly, I did not. And this is the thing about higher self. When I created this show a year ago, or nearly a year ago, I didn't know anything about chakras. I didn't know what the center of the sun meant. I just follow my feelings. And I do things based on aesthetic and feeling and stuff like that. So I named the show The Center of the Sun because I knew there's a singularity at the center of every sun, and that is the driving force of all life. I didn't know I was right or that I had supporting evidence to my fact. Because I don't believe anyone. I mean, because technically, if everyone's right, then also everyone's wrong. Technically. So what do you think? Do you feel your chakras, or do you know what your chakras are? Have you ever thought about them? Have you ever felt them? Do you feel them now? Will you continue learning more about them? Do you think I'm a devil worshiper? Like, let me know what you think. host@centersun21.com. Thank you for listening. That's all I have. I just want to let you know that the way that the world is not, or the way that the people have told us about how the world is definitely, those things can change. The only things that are finite are what we make finite. So take it as you will, take it in stride. And I encourage you to continue letting energy flow out of your crown chakra. It is very important to bring your spirit out of your body, and your spirit is directly connected to your creative expression and your feelings. Bring those feelings out of your body and bring all of that energy, all that dense physical energy, try to bring that inside your body. Just try to imagine yourself inside of your own body. It's a weird thing to think of, but just think about it. And I'll catch you somewhere. Have a great day.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make the brave decision to venture within, you will unlock your true potential so you can push forward with confidence, conviction, and a purpose. For only $1, you can become a Center of the Sun Plus Gold member and get closer to that purpose. No matter how difficult the process may be, remember it's your resilience and commitment that will ultimately lead you to where you want to go.